sees farther than we can see. You know what would be wise to do for you to do because He can see farther than you can see? To trust Him now. Thank you for that song. We're going to be in Acts chapter number 10, or rather 11. Stan, when you find that, we'll read our text. Acts chapter 11. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read all the way to verse number 18. So follow along as I read out loud, beginning in verse number 1, Acts chapter 11. The Bible says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God." So now we're back in Judea, the church. They had heard about what happened at Cornelius' house. It stirred them up. "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." So there was a kind of a contrast. There was a problem that they had with what had happened. Verse 3, saying, "Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them?" But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, expounded it by order unto them, saying, "It was in the city of Joppa praying. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending as it had been a great sheet, let down from where?" Let down from where?
Heaven.
This message is from God, is what Peter is saying. "By four corners, and it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Guess whose voice that was? It was God's voice. But I said, "Not so, Lord." And Peter had a way of arguing with God quite a bit. I think we can relate to that. For nothing common or unclean hath any time entered into my mouth. And the voice answered again unto me." In other words, God says again, "What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common." And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. Note this next phrase here, verse 12. "The Spirit bade me go. So it's almost like there's a theme, right? God's doing this. All along the way, God is revealing Himself as being behind this entire episode. "With nothing doubting," this is what God says, "Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak," note this, "the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." Note this next question here. What was I that I could withstand God? It seemed to go against everything, every fiber in my being, everything that I'd known to be true. But it was clear that God was doing this. How can I withstand it? Good question. When, verse 18, "they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." God showed up, revealed Himself. He knew it was God. And the message says thus. And so we're excited about what God has for us tonight. Let's pray and we'll get into this. Father, we need You. We pray for Your blessings. I pray that You'd help us to receive this great message. And Lord, help us to, as we heard in that song, Lord, know what You'd have us to do and choose to trust You as we seek to honor You in obedience. We love You. Give us faith where we're weak. And we'll give You glory as You do that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. An amazing conversation with Luke the other day. Where you at? There you are. We're standing in the foyer and we're just chit-chatting about school. Raise your hand if you love school. Like three people raised your hand. Okay. So we're talking about school and Luke said this, "You know, I don't understand algebra." I'm like, "You know what? There's a lot of people who can say that." But he said, no, I understand algebra. It's not complicated to me. I mean, I get it. I just don't get the point of it. Like, I don't understand why I am doing this. Who cares what X means or, you know, equals? And then I said, hang on a second. I mean, this is like real life, algebra. I said, someday you're going to get married. And your wife is an algebraic expression, complicated. And you're trying to figure out what X is, and you don't know what it is. That's what your wife is. X equals, and you're trying to figure it out, and you're going to spend your whole life, and you're just going to wonder, what is the answer to this? I'm going to get in trouble here. So we got done with this explanation of why we need algebra. And he goes, Pastor, that's the best explanation of why I need algebra I've ever heard in my life. And then he just walked away. I felt like it was a legitimate mic drop moment in my life. You know, just we got it. Now, there have been times in my family that I felt like, you know, I won an argument, but really I didn't. You know, have you ever in those times when you feel like you feel convinced that you're right, but then after a little bit of time you realize you weren't really right? I mean, you were wrong all the time. Even when you were right, you were wrong.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's just kind of how it can be sometimes. I'm not talking about my wife. I mean, y'all are judging me here, but that's how the Jews were. The Jews were absolutely convinced that they were right. Not just the Jews, but the Jewish Christians. We're talking about people in the church who had grown up in Judaism. They turned their heart to Christ, but they were embracing both sides. They were embracing Judaism, but they were also accepting, or rather had accepted Christ. And this is what made up the church in Jerusalem. And they were absolutely convinced that they were right about this equation. They thought that along the way, what needed to happen was that the Gentiles who would come to salvation in Jesus, they would have to first become Jews. They would first have to accept Judaism, become a follow from that perspective, accepting the law and all that goes along with it. And then from there, they could accept Christ. And they were convinced that that was true. The problem was they were wrong about that. And so Peter comes on the scene, and they hear report back from Peter, or about Peter, that he had been in the house of Cornelius, and he had eaten with them, and it bothered them. Why? Because there was a movement that God had moved in the house of Cornelius, and Peter was fellowshipping, because that's what eating would represent, is a kind of a fellowship and a kind of closeness. And that bothered these Christians, these Jewish Christians who were of the circumcision, because these Gentiles hadn't come to Judaism. And they were seeing, you know, a disruption in what they had considered the right path or the right way. And so Peter needed to explain himself. Why did you go into their home? Why did you have this fellowship? Do you really think that these Gentiles had come to Christ when they hadn't come to Judaism yet? And you're going to need to explain to us. You're going to need to explain yourself. And there was tension. As a matter of fact, in the scripture, verse number 2, at the last part, it says they contended with him. And so there was a contention. There was a division in their, not just their opinions, in what their, you know, what they believed was true and what Peter had done. And so Peter needed to explain why he allowed this to happen. So Peter then begins, as the scripture says, to rehearse unto them all that God had done. And it's amazing the detail, if you go back and read the story, the detail with which Peter again rehearses what God did in this whole episode, so that Peter is just seeking God. He's in prayer and goes into what he describes as a trance, and he sees a vision from God where God brings the sheet from heaven that has the animals, clean, unclean, and God says eat, and there's contention between him and God says that what was uncommon, God had made common. That is, through Christ, there is a kind of unity that through the blood of Christ, man comes to God through Christ, and there's unity there. And so, you know, the veil has been cut, and man can come to the Lord. And so this is what this imagery represented, and Peter struggled with it. And so in obedience to God, Peter invites these gentlemen who had come from Cornelius. to the house of Peter, and then there's fellowship there. And then also, he goes along with them back to the house of Cornelius with these six other Jewish or of the circumcision Christians along with Peter. When they get to the house of Cornelius, they're invited into the house. Peter, in obedience to God, every step of the way, God is revealing himself as moving in this. He goes into the house and then wants to hear the message from Cornelius. Tell me why I'm here. Cornelius says that an angel had visited and told him to send messengers back to Joppa. Then he would find Peter and he had a message for you. So in other words, God told me to send these men to bring you here because you had a message. Now you need to tell us what that message is. Because we're waiting, God's doing this, God's orchestrating all of this, you need to deliver that message to us. And we can almost feel, not tension, but a kind of urgency and excitement. What is this message? And Peter knows the message, he knows all about it. I mean, as a matter of fact, he walked with Jesus, he knows the gospel in and out. There's a new aspect to it that God, the door is opening up to the Gentiles, and you didn't have to become a Jew before you could be saved. And all this was new, and so Peter struggled some with this, but it was clear, watch, God was doing this. And so the door was opening. And Peter knew the message. So guess what? He shared the gospel with them. And on the spot, in the midst of his sermon, the Holy Ghost shows up and moves onto the hearts of those that are hearing the gospel. You know, God, the Holy Ghost, still works through the gospel today. Did you know that? He worked this morning in your heart. Those of you who are here and you heard the message, and there's a kind of a stirring that happens on the inside. Why? Because you're hearing the gospel, and the Holy Ghost works through the gospel. You wonder sometimes, is the gospel enough? Do we have to have some kind of a tactic associated to the gospel? You know, Pastor, I'm not a very good soul winner. Do you know the gospel? I know the gospel. Share the gospel. Yeah. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. It's not your tactics. It's not how good you are at telling people about Jesus. It's not, you know, how smooth you are or how, you know, good you are at making, you know, getting somebody to the place to pray and ask the Lord to save them. No, no, no. The power is in the gospel. And so Peter gave the gospel. In the midst of the sermon, the Holy Ghost showed up. You know, remember when that happened in your life? And you knew God wanted you to be saved? As a matter of fact, I remember when God showed up in my heart and I was hearing the gospel, I knew I needed to be saved. It was dead in the center of the sermon. I mean, I was waiting for the end of the sermon before I could raise my hand and acknowledge God was working in me. And God shows up and he works through the work of the Holy Ghost. That's what happened here. Did you know that every step of the way, God is revealing himself as moving in all of this? God said, you know, I moved in the heart of Peter, and I moved in the heart of Cornelius, and I brought these two together, and the message is delivered from the man to the people who need the message. And then what happened when all of these things, these factors are going together? The Holy Ghost, who is God, showed up. And then there was a movement of God in that place. Why? Because the gospel was delivered, and people were being touched. It's amazing. And so I wonder if Peter's getting as excited as I am right now as he's delivering this message back to these, you know, Christians who are Jews. Now, you need to note this. These people that are hearing Peter's message about what God had done, they're not happy with Peter. There's contention. There's like a conflict that's going on. It's said that they contended with Peter. And so there's not a sweet spirit. It's like a deacon's meeting and everybody's like, you need to tell us why this happened. And Peter starts reporting, and I feel like maybe something's happening in him. He's getting excited about it. In other words, you're getting angry about something you shouldn't be getting angry about. God showed up, and God's doing something amazing. God did this. Remember when God showed up in our lives back in the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost was here, and what God did in us? That's what happened there. I mean, I saw the same thing in them that God did in us. Listen, God did all of this. And you can argue with it, but it's like somebody who says, you know, I don't know if I believe in God. I don't know about the reality of all this. You ask me now how I know he lives? He lives in my heart. Amen. You can't argue with that. And so Peter's reporting back, and he's excited about it. It was clear that God was doing this. And now we're kind of getting to the conclusion of his message to these, you know, to these Christians that were, you know, of the circumcision, and misunderstanding, about this, not understanding how to reconcile whether you needed to become a Jew to become a Christian. And Peter gets to the end of his sermon showing that God was moving in the Gentiles. And then he says this. I can almost hear him. And so I look what all that God did. I wasn't even done with my sermon yet, and God showed up. So what was I to do? Stand in the way of God? What was I to do? Not let God do what God was going to do? Get in the way of the movement of God? You know, it's amazing. It's like what Peter was saying he could not do was precisely what these Christians were trying to do. To step in the way of what God clearly was trying to do. They were trying to stop or put a halt to whatever it was that Peter thought that he could just get away with. No, you need to explain yourself. Well, let me explain to you. I'm going to tell you precisely what God did. And then when he gets to the end of it, he says, now you tell me what I should have done. God was doing this, and I was in no way going to step in the way of God to let him do what he was going to do. So he gets to the end, and it's like, and I think there's wisdom that takes place in the hearts of these Christians that were contending with Peter, maybe sensing the fire. Maybe the Holy Ghost showed up there again, and they said in wisdom, verse number 18. Look at it. And when they heard these things, they held their peace. I think that's a good thing. Held their peace. The contention, it's almost we can sense the contention was over. The fight was over. Why? And the Bible says they glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So they acknowledge that God was doing something. They acknowledge that it was God who was moving, and they also didn't want to stand in the way of God. You know, God wants to move this at Western Hills Baptist Church. He wants to move here. Like, he wants to move through this ministry. And I'm here for it. I'm excited already about what God's doing, but he wants to move. You know what often happens in church ministries? Is there are times when people stand in the way of what God wants to do. Now hear me. There are times when people stand in the way of what God wants to do. I remember when I was, trying to help some guys at our church in Oklahoma. This was when I was in high school, and they were redoing the sidewalk concrete, and I'd never been a part of anything like that. So we were mixing up the concrete by hand in the wheelbarrow, wheelbarrow load at a time. We're just like mixing it around and everything, and then we pour it into the thing, and the forms are all there, and we're getting it all. And I'm just kind of paying attention, and I don't know anything. And I saw some of the guys scraping some of that concrete that had fallen on the ground, scraping it up and putting it over into the pile that was going to be smoothed out and made into the sidewalk. And all I saw was that he was scraping stuff off the sidewalk. I didn't know he was scraping little pieces of concrete that had fallen off of the wheelbarrow. So I thought you could just scrape stuff off the parking lot and put it in there. I didn't know. So I got a shovel. I'm like, I'm going to help out. And I start scraping stuff. And there's like, my shovel had dirt, it had rocks in it. It had little pieces of wood in there. It had little pieces of trash, like gum wrappers. And I just threw it right on top. And all the guys that were there, they were kind of getting it ready. And then whenever I did that, they all just stopped. And then they looked at me like, I'm just like, what? I'm just helping, just helping. I had no idea. You're not supposed to do that. Concrete is, there's specific, ingredients that go into that. And like wood chips and gum wrappers, that's not part of it. We're just kind of, this is an interesting, little mixture here. And I learned in an embarrassing way that, along the way I'm trying to help, but I actually get in the way of progress. It's like, I remember when I was a little kid and I would eat Pop-Tarts. Raise your hand if you remember, not Pop-Tarts. I see your hand shot up. Raise your hand if you remember VCRs. Remember those? I shoved a Pop-Tart right in the VCR. I was like, oh yeah, little flipper, Pop-Tart, that goes in there. That works. You know what I mean? We were going to watch a Pop-Tart movie. VCR kids are like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Pop-Tarts don't work in VCRs. As a matter of fact, the VCR doesn't work anymore once you put a Pop-Tart in there. We figured that out. Not helping, kind of in the way of progress. And sometimes, as it relates to ministry, God wants to move, but we can stand in his way. God wants to move in the ministry of the church. Did you know that for God to move forward in the church, He doesn't need our permission? He doesn't need us to approve or to agree with, to move and to move the church in a specific direction. So God wants to move. He wants to work. He doesn't need our permission to do that. So along the way, when God is wanting to move and God is wanting to move things forward in the church, and we cannot like something about what is happening or maybe the way something is going, and we get stirred up within because it's not going the way we think that it should go, watch out along the way if that spirit is coming into our soul. Why? Because we can get in the way. We can stand in the way of what God wants to do. And Peter said, look what God's doing. I don't want to stand in the way of this. I don't want to get in the way of God doing an amazing thing in the church and through these Gentiles. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to let God do His work, and I want to be obedient to Him, be where He wants me to be, and do what He wants me to do, and be a part of whatever God wants to do, and I want to step out of the way. Listen, sometimes what we need to do is we need to step out of the way and just go ahead and get behind God and follow Him. Just follow. Lord, where do you want me to go? Listen, I'm not the one who's in charge of this. God, you're the one who's in charge of this. Where do you want our church to go? Where do you want our church to be? I don't know if our church can do this. I don't know if our church should do that. I don't know if we can handle this. Listen, you know, I think God can handle it. I think God knows where He wants to take the church. It's obvious God's working. It's obvious the Spirit of God shows up when the Word of God is delivered and the Spirit of God is working in our hearts and He's moving in us and there's surrender and there's obedience and God is doing an amazing thing. And then along the way, there's an attitude that comes into our soul that says, I don't know about this, or I don't know about that. You better watch out. We need to go ahead and step out of the way and get behind and follow whatever it is that God wants to do. Now, along the way, there might be things that we need to address, but let's do it in a proper way. Not stand in the way of what God wants to do. It can also be true with our children. And I see it with moms and dads at times. So moms and dads want to have a level of control and a level of, a direction in the way that their kids go. And by the way, God teaches us to train up our children in the way that they should go. Amen. And so that's our responsibility. We need to be examples and we need to be teachers in their life. And we, listen, if your kids, this or that, we need to remember they have a will, but also we're moms and dads are the primary teachers in the home. But we also have to remember that God is the one who needs to have control in their life, not you. We need to teach our children to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And so as a mom and a dad, yes, we need to guide our kids in the way they should go. But if God's moving in them and God's speaking to them and God says, or your children say to you, I believe God is working in me, then what we need to do is encourage them to go the way God wants them to go and not watch, stand in the way of what God wants to do in their life. I don't know about that. I don't know if God is going to do that in your life. Watch out. Don't stand in the way of what God wants to do in your kids' lives. Amen. We stand in the way and there's a hindrance there. God is doing a great work in our kids. And we can see it in our children. Moms and dads, let's not step in the way. I want that. I want that for our children, and you want that for your children. Guide them in the way they should go. And as they come along and God is working in their life, let's step out of the way. Let's just go ahead and let God take the lead in their life. That's good wisdom. Also in our lives. Let me say also in our lives, individually. Sometimes we step in the way of God, and it's like we have this intellectual and emotional struggle with God's leadership in our life. God's wanting to work in your life. He's wanting to lead you. And sometimes the struggle happens when you know what God wants you to do and you're not excited about what God wants you to do. And so there's a tension there, kind of a conflict between you and God. God's leading, He's wanting to guide you, but what ends up happening is we step in the way of God's leadership in our own life. You know, I know, I really believe I know what God wants for me, but I'm not sure that's what I want. I'm not sure if I want to fully surrender to what He's doing in my life. And what needs to happen is we need to step out of the way of God and let Him lead. Let Him be the one who guides us. He's revealing Himself. He shows up and the Holy Ghost works. And it's clear He's doing it. Now, I know when God's working. I get so convicted about it. I mean, I get so convicted about my sins. There are sermons that I deliver. Remember that one, Hemlock in the Furrows? I mean, that was a blessing. That was convicting. I was so convicted that week. I thought, goodness gracious. I got to get right with God. My actions are putting Hemlock in the furrows. And He stirs in me. We know because the Holy Ghost shows up and He works in us. And we know He's working. But often what happens and what we can do because of our flesh and because of our own desires and our own will and our own heart and what we want in this life is we argue with God and we get in His way. We just stand in His way of what He wants to do. And usually it's not because we don't know. And I talk to so many. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what guy. Come on. I mean, that's an excuse. I mean, usually we know. We're just not going to say it. Because, you know, if you say it, then that means it's absolutely true. But if you don't say it, it must not be true, right? No, it's true because God's telling you. And it's true because He's telling you, not because you admit it. It's there. Conviction is there. And He's trying to convince you, but you're arguing and fussing with Him, getting in His way. What needs to happen? You need to get out of His way. Amen. You need to let Him lead and you follow. Remember the Philippian jailer? One of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. Actually, we're going to be getting there, who knows, 6 months. We'll get there. No, it'll be soon. The Philippian jailer. Remember him? He's watching Peter. Or not Peter. He's watching Saul. Or Paul and Silas. I can't even get it right. Paul and Silas. And they're in prison. And remember, they're going to be persecuted. And they're being persecuted. And they're praying. And they're singing. And God's working in them. And there's an earthquake. And the doors fly open. And the Philippian jailer thinks, I'm toast. I'm gone. And he's going to fall on his own sword. And you know the story, but he didn't fall on his sword. Because Paul said, we're in here still. We didn't leave. And he rushes in. And he says something like this. Watch. He says something like this. I've been standing in the way of God. I've been guarding what God wants to do. I've been in opposition of what God wants to do. But I'm here to tell you, I don't want to stand in God's way anymore. I want to get out of the way and I want to follow. And he was saved. And God did a miraculous work in his life. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He wants to do that in our church. He wants to do that in our family, in our kids. He wants to do that in our lives. But we have to get out of the way. We have to decide that we're going to let Him lead. Like that song tonight. Wherever He leads, I'll follow. That's what we need to do. We need to decide that we're going to let God lead. And then we're going to follow. That's where the struggle is. God is revealing Himself. He's working in our lives. But now we have to make a decision. Are we going to get out of His way and let Him lead? Or are we going to keep just getting in His way? And we're wise to let Him lead. We're wise. I mean, God knows where He's going. He's not going to lead you astray. He knows the right path for you. Like, I'm nervous about it. Yeah. I mean, almost everybody who's being led of God by and has to obey Him by faith is nervous about it. You know, Abraham, Ur of the Chaldees, I mean, he's leaving and now he goes to a land he doesn't even know. And God's leading him and Moses is going to lead millions of complaining people. And all through the Bible, you'll see people that God uses and they moved in faith and obedience to Him just by simply getting themselves out of the way to say, God, I'll let you lead. I'm just going to follow along. Now imagine with me, if you would, this church, Western Hills, as exciting as it is, if we even that much more remove ourselves out of the way and just let God lead, what He could do here. I mean, we decide to do that. You know what? I've been fussing about some things at our church. I've been fussing about it. You know what? It's really kind of petty. Look what God's doing. I mean, there's been contention. There should be no contention. Look what God is doing. He's revealing Himself. The Holy Ghost is here. You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to get out of the way. I'm just going to come over here. I'm going to follow along with what God's doing here. How great? I don't know. Let's just do it. Let's just go along together and we'll just see. You know, the bus that God dropped out of heaven. You know, I was visiting with Brother King about that. And I was just matter-of-factly saying, and you know, like moving forward, Now watch this. You know what God wants to do? God wants to do He wants to do that here. What do we have to do? We have to get out of the way. We have to follow. You know, God drops some more things out of heaven. He'll do that in our children. But you're wise to do that. You're wise to put your kids in God's hands. Thy heart and soul and might. That's if you have taught your kids that, you've success. That's success. You know, what a college and money and all this stuff. No. Do they love God? Because if they have all that stuff and they don't love God, you missed it.
That's right.
Just teach them to love God. Teach them to obey God, to trust Him. To do that, moms and dads, watch me. You got to get out of the way. You got to stop controlling your kids. Thinking it's all about them doing what you feel good about. No. What does God want you to do? Not how much money or how what kind of educate, all that. No. What does God want? And then lastly, our lives. We just got to get out of the way. Like, I'm so nervous about it. Why? Just get out of the way. Let God lead. Exceeding abundantly above. Brother Joe, isn't it amazing that we get to do this? You know, full time for God. And maybe all those years ago, and you thought about where God would, from then to where God has you now. And you wouldn't trade anything, I'm sure, for this. And I wouldn't be the president, it would be a step down. I told Brother Chris that. To become a pastor, you know, the highest calling in the universe,
right.
You're taking a step down to do anything else, if that's what God wants you to do.
Right.
So what do? Get yourself out of the way. What does God want? Just do that and follow. Let Him lead. And you'll be glad. You'll be glad. I wish I could get this across to kids that are at that age where you still have all of your life ahead of you and you don't have the scars. Kids, that you would decide today, I'm going to surrender my life to Him. I'm going to surrender my life to Him. Well, I'm glad for you if you decide to do that. But to do that, you're going to have to get yourself out of the way. Jesus said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, that means you have to die to yourself. You have to deny yourself. It means it can't be about you. It has to be all about Him. And one of my favorite verses, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, I messed that up, liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
That's where we need to be. Humble yourself. Get yourself out of the way. Let God lead. And you follow. Every head bowed, nobody looking around.